Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. I want to continue today to talk about the great gift that we've been given. What's at the essence of being Christian means to have a new life, the new life that's in God, the life that's in Christ that's given to us. And literally, as the apostles talk about it, echoing the words of Jesus, that we are born again by water and the Spirit when we become believers. We're baptized into Christ. That's why baptism is so essential, that it's not just a symbol. It's not just a sign. It affects, as we talk about sacraments, it affects what it signifies. And what it's signifying is that I'm being plunged into the waters of baptism. And in that being plunged in, I'm dying with Christ and being buried with Christ, Romans tells us, Paul tells us in his sixth chapter of Romans, I believe it is. And he said, so the old man, the biological man, sinful man, is put to death and she's raised to new life. So I've been focusing on this week is the reality of new life being the essence of Christianity. There's just a number of Bible passages I just wanted to read today, just simple one-liners. It's helpful for us to be able to just hear them and to internalize them and let them become a habit of our own referring to them, because the more we internalize the Word of God, the more we'll be transformed by it, and the more we'll be able to live in the reality that it's speaking of. It's important to think about it because I think many believers don't, I mean, in theory, they understand this, but in reality, in terms of how they're living their lives on a daily basis, they don't draw too much strength from it. They don't seem to feel like they have access to it. And the Word of God is closer than you think. And the Spirit of God, which dwells in us, wants to help this Word of God come alive and begin to transform the way we think and live. This is why Paul talks about having a renewed mind, a transformed way of thinking about the world, about our purpose in this world, and fundamentally, a different way of thinking about, understanding about who God is and who you are. That's life-changing. When we begin to see ourselves in light of who we are in Christ, that is, we begin to grasp what He's done for us. This is the starting point of it all. What has He done for me? What has He done for you? What does it mean that Christ has come? Not so much, what do I have to do for Him? That's important. Can't be avoided, but it flows out of what He's done for us, because what He's done for us has made us new. He's done something different. He's transformed and changed us. And the first thing He's done is He's taken away sin and He's given us new life. That's the heart of it. That's where it all begins. So here's some passages. John chapter 6, verse 35. He is the bread of life. Why? Because He gives life to believers. He feeds us. His life is our very food. It's what sustains us, His word and His life. Chapter 8, verse 12, He's the light of life. It's an interesting title, the light of life. He brings eternal life into light, is a way to maybe understand that. His light, the light that Christ brings, is He dispels all the darkness and our inability to grasp the fundamental meaning of where we've come from, why we're here, where we're going. He shed light on who God is. He sheds light on the condition of the human heart. He reveals the biblical worldview, the mind of God about our situation. Jesus brings it. He opens it up to us. And He reveals His light. He brings light to us in helping us realize, understand, and experience the reality of the new life that He's given to us. John chapter 4, verse 10, He is the water of life. I mean, we call baptism the water of life, but water is a symbol as well of the Holy Spirit, the one who brings us life, the author and giver of life, as Pope John Paul II said so eloquently in his encyclical. John chapter 6, verse 63, His words are spirit and life. Jesus' words are spirit and life. Jesus came out of the waters of the Jordan to fulfill the law and the Father's plan. He entered the waters of the Jordan to be baptized by John. Jesus didn't need baptism to have his sins forgiven or John was baptizing in a baptism of repentance. Jesus didn't have anything to repent of. But the baptism was the beginning of Jesus, or the inauguration of Jesus' ministry, when he began to do that which the Father has sent him to accomplish. Right? The mission began, and he came out of the waters, and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me." So Jesus is the Messiah, the one who is anointed by the Spirit, and his words come from the Holy Spirit and the Spirit at work in him. John 6:33, he has come to give life to the world. We look around and we say, well, there's life in the world already, isn't there? There's biological life. There's the life of plants. And I mean, scientists study this life. We know it's there. And it's an important thing to understand what the scripture is getting at. It's different. It's not talking about biological life. And maybe no one has described the difference better than C.S. Lewis in his book, his important book, which I'd recommend to anyone who's listening, Mere Christianity, if you haven't read it. It's one of the best books about what it means to be a believer, what it means to be Christian. They're written today. So here's what he said from Mere Christianity. When we come to man, the highest of the animals, we get the completest resemblance to God which we know of. There may be creatures in other worlds who are more like God than man is, but we do not know about them. Man not only lives, but loves and reasons. Biological life reaches its highest known level in him. But what man is in his natural condition, what he does not have, is spiritual life, the higher and different sort of life that exists in God. We use the same word life for both, but if you thought that both must therefore be the same sort of thing, that would be like thinking that the greatness of space and the greatness of God were the same sort of greatness. In reality, the difference between biological life and spiritual life is so important that I'm going to give to them two distinct names. The biological sort, which comes to us through nature, and which, like everything else in nature, is always tending to run down and decay so that it can only be kept up by the incessant subsidies from nature in the form of air, water, food, etc. This is bios. He's calling it. That's the name he's giving it, bios. The spiritual life, which is in God from all eternity, and which made the whole natural universe, is zoe. So he's making the two distinctions. Bios, natural life, zoe, God's spiritual life. Bios has, to be sure, a certain shadowy and symbolic resemblance to Zoe, but only the sort of resemblance there is between a photo and a place, or a statue and a man. A man who changed from having bios to having Zoe would have gone through as big a change as a statue, which changed from being a carved stone to being a real man. And that is precisely what Christianity is about. This world is a great sculptor's shop. We are the statues. And there is a rumor going around that in the shop, that some of us are some of the new thing that God is doing. The statues are coming to life. And this is his analogy, right? Because St. Paul said, as we mentioned, Ephesians chapter 2, that we're brought from death to life. God is bringing us to life, and everybody needs that new life. This is why the church has a mission in the world. It's not just a matter of people being good. Like people would say, well, you know, I don't really need God. I don't really need religion. I certainly don't need Christianity. I'm a good person. I have good friends. We do kind things to people. And that might be true at some level. Though Jesus himself said, there's no one who is good except God himself, right? Because why? Everybody's fallen. Everybody's subject to their passions and their pleasures in the flesh, and everyone has sinned and falls short of the glory of God. That's the real condition of the human race. But people say, well, I don't need that. I can do this on my own. Well, you can't, because you need something more than trying to behave or trying to align yourself with some definition of goodness. What every human being needs is new life. We need this spiritual life, the life that's in God, the life we don't have on our own, and God is bringing to us in the person of Jesus Christ. This is the essence of the church's mission, to bring people to spiritual life, from spiritual death to spiritual life. One of the problems today is there's the presumption that everybody already has this spiritual life. And all the church does and different kinds of churches do is help people recognize what they already have. That's not true. Jesus was very clear about it. Nicodemus, the Pharisee who snuck out at night to come to listen to Jesus, to be at his feet, to ask him questions. Jesus told him very clearly, unless you're born again by water and the Spirit, you shall not have life within you. And that's the famous chapter, right, where Jesus said that God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him would not die but would have everlasting life. He said those who believe in him will have life. Those who don't come into life in Christ won't have the spiritual life that he's referring to. So John chapter 3, verse 25, those who believe in him will have the light, will have life in faith. How do we access that life? Through faith, through believing and hearing the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ, and submitting ourselves to it. And part of that good news is to enter the waters of baptism, to follow Jesus as he did into the Jordan, and to be baptized and have our sins forgiven. So Peter declares that. Acts chapter 2, the very first day of their mission, when they come out of the upper room, anointed by the Holy Spirit, on the day of Pentecost, the church is born. Peter bears witness to who Jesus is. And then he calls people to repentance because they asked them, if Jesus is Lord, if he's the Christ, the Messiah, what should we do? Peter said, repent, be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. There's the very fundamentals, what's at the heart of the faith, right? To repent, to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins is the means by which you're responding to this gospel that's calling us to this, that's declaring that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is the source of life. To come to him means you turn from the directions you're living in, you turn toward Christ, you repent, you change, and you enter the waters of baptism, and your sins are forgiven. The original stain of original sin, which is separating you from God, is taken away, and then you're given the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is the source of this new life. That's what it means to be born again. That's really what it's all about. Chapter 5, verse 24 of John's Gospel, he passed from death to life. Chapter 11, verse 25, and he has given Christ glory. Christ's coming is the decisive event. His life comes by commitment to him, living in him, living in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what's life transforming. The life that's in Jesus, friends, is an indestructible life. You're listening to the program today. Maybe you're older, like I'm older. I'm 60 years old now. Man, that came fast. Maybe you're older than that, and you're seeing what's happening to your body, your bios, your biological life, your biological existence is passing away. So is everyone else's. Even if you're 15, you're listening to this. You're on the same path. You need a different kind of life. You need God's life. And that life comes from a person, from Jesus. And he offers it to everyone who hears his gospel, is willing to repent of their sins, turn to him, enter the waters of baptism, and allow Jesus to help us be born again and enter his church and his living community. God bless you, friends. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you a new booklet called Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. Recently, Pope Francis said the whole world is at war trying to destroy marriage. Marriage is a battleground today, but God has made marriage to be a blessing. And this little booklet contains wisdom that will bring life and joy and healing to your marriage. If you'd like a free copy of Transform Your Marriage, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.